All right, everyone, so let's open our Bibles to, again, Genesis chapter 27. I think we were at chapter 27. Let me get ready here. All right. Okay. So, excuse me. Last week, we talked again about the not just a dysfunctional family, but we're going to see what's happening in a dysfunctional family. And the question was to remember not to bless yourself as Jacob and his mother did. Of course, it was his mother's plan, but there's dangers in trying to do God's work your way. Even us, we know God's word, but if we try to do it his way, it can cause problems. So you see the problems that happen to Jacob and his mother when they got what they wanted. They accomplished God's will because God did say the older will serve the younger. But they did it in the wrong way. And remember, there's consequences to everything, because the Bible tells us whatever a man sows, he will reap. Even if God is with that person, there is justice, because God is just. He can allow us to go through things, but that's because he is a just and righteous God. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He will walk us through the valley of the shadow of death or deep darkness, because he's there with us. And we're going to look at the consequences of actions right now. But remember, last week we talked about if God promised us something and we know God's will in his word, we got to make sure we're doing it God's way and not our own, because it can cause us problems in the future. It's not an instant all the time. It could be days, years, weeks, hours, months, and years from now when we start reaping what we have sown. And to a certain degree, they sowed to the flesh, even though God was in it. And we're going to pick it up in verse 41. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing which his father blessed him. If you guys remember, he gave the blessing and he stole the blessing. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother." So here we see what's happening to Esau right now. Remember, he was the Gaston of his day. He was proud, arrogant, a man's man, very cocky, narcissistic, and he didn't care for his birthright. So in his heart, he said he will kill his brother. And of course, when you're looking at the word here, it also can mean thoughts that are projected outwards. And you're going to see that in verse 42. But see, that's the thing of being a narcissist. You see how deep of a narcissist he was. At this point, he doesn't even see he's wrong. His emotion is overtaking him, and there is no logic in it. He's speaking out loud that he will kill his brother for the wrong his brother did to him. And it's easy to be in a family that knows God and to have a narcissistic Gaston type Esau personality. And that comes from, again, compromise, not walking with the Lord, or maybe not showing the example of the Lord to our family. And you can have kids who become like this. But does it mean it has to stay that way? No. Because when people come to their senses, it changes. Verse 42. And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to her. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, "Surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you." Now here's another interesting thing. We don't know who was around when Esau said this. He could have been saying it to himself and it came out loud, a friend, a servant, but word came back. It's hard to say, because if you look at the family, they had two camps. They had their favorite sons and they were sort of split, which is always bad to do, as we talked about. But here it is, Rebekah was told. Possibly it even was the person who was given those two goats to slaughter. And you don't know whose sides they were on. But the word came about, and Rebekah knew what Esau was going to do. And in Proverbs 19:21, it says, "The plans of a man's heart or people's heart are many," right? "But nevertheless, the Lord's counsel," or the Lord's wisdom and guidance will stand. We can have a lot of things we want. We can do certain things and plans. But God, even in our mistakes, will accomplish his will in our lives. Here right now, you see Esau is going to kill his brother for the wrong, and I do this, that was done to him. Remember, he despised his birthright. But God is in this still. Remember, there's his perfect will and permissive will. We always want to be in his perfect will, because permissive leads us astray and some bumps and bruises, even though God's like, I'm with you. So verse 43. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, arise. Flee to my brother Laban in Haran. Run, Jacob, run. That's basically what she's saying right now. Run, Jacob, run. She's first off saying, obey my voice. Now here we go again. The mother is telling her son what to do. But it's a little bit different right now because she's actually making sense. 44. And stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from here. Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day? So again, going back, she creates another plan. And she's realizing it isn't going as good as I thought it would, was, so she tells him to flee. And she says in her mind, go there for a couple of days or a few days. There can be for a time, you can look at that as. Until your brother's fury passes. And she understands her son. You see what Esau was. He was a man who can go from different emotions quickly. And a man who is a narcissistic person is going to want to get back to doing what he loves doing. He was a fornicator and a proud man who loved to hunt. So he's not going to want to be in that depressed crybaby state for long. And she understands her son. So she tells Jacob, his anger will pass. You know how your brother is. Don't worry. It'll be okay. But for now, you're a dead man. You better run. And she says, go. But it's interesting, she says that she will send for him. And again, Proverbs 19:5 says, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. And it seems like right now, Jacob is actually getting away with it. But when we go into the scriptures, and you guys read what happens to him, there's that law, whatever goes around comes around. And that's also to mature him as well. But that's what's happening here, and she knows him. It's going to be longer than she thinks, and Rebecca says, well, I don't want to lose both of you. Esau killing Jacob. And if he does that, two things can happen to Esau. He's either going to get killed, or he's going to be like Cain was, in exile. So she was right. I don't want to lose both of my sons, because you have to remember, she did love her sons. But yes, she loved one more than the other, just like Isaac loved one more than the other. But when you think about it, it's sad because more than likely she died before she ever got to see Jacob again. Because as we read in, what we're going to read in chapters 31 and 35, it never talks about Jacob returning to his parents. It just talks about Jacob returning to his father, Isaac. And that leads us back to what was said in verse 13, what Rebecca said. She said, let your curse be upon me. It's going to be over 20 years will pass before Jacob actually goes back to his father. And in that time, somehow, she passes. And remember how when Isaac said, I cannot take back the blessing, he indeed will be blessed. There's power in words. In what she said, there was a curse upon her. There was a curse upon Jacob as well. Here are the two favorites. Rebecca and her favorite son, Jacob, who will never see each other again, as much as we understand this, and she winds up dying before he can come back. So our words do have power. God may hold us to our words, and he says that because the Bible says, let your yes be a yes and no or no. Anything else you say comes from the wicked one. We got to watch what we say, because I know for a fact, a lot of words I've said in the past, God has held me to, and I've paid for the words. Remember, we could never take our words back. They do damage. Like that story, I think Tim's told it before, where there's a word or something is put down, some type of paper, and you chop it up and you shred it and you let it go to the wind. And then I think the lady said to the son, now go find each piece and put it back together. And you can't. The damage is done. It's all over the place. So when you think about what she said, let your curse be upon me, it sort of happened to her in some degree. Never again will they meet that long period of time. And she never knew if her son was all right. Now, perhaps there was some type of letters going back and forth. She did say, I'm going to send word. But for whatever reason, she was never able to tell her son, come back. And it could also be what Laban is going to do. We don't know. But they were never together again in the relationship they had before. And that is a thing for us to think about. You know, here is cause and effect, sowing and reaping. The actions they did affected them. And there was an escape in that. Although they didn't have this from the Lord in punishment, but he said, well, you did it the hard way. You could have did it the easy way, but they didn't. Verse 46. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, like those who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? Now here's another part of her plan, and it's sensible as well. She says, well, if I'm not going to see my son, let me send him to my family and let him have a wife there. At least possibly I'll have someone from my clan, which of course was Isaac's clan, someone who will understand me, not like the wives of Esau, the Hittites, which he married in that land. And they made their life, if you remember, bitter. So possibly she's also thinking, send them there. I can relate if he gets a wife and he comes back to this daughter-in-law who will be from my understanding, my clan, and we can relate somehow. And those are part of the thoughts you would think. My culture is the same way. They generally intermarry because they want to keep the same type of culture or clans in the gypsy clans. So it's common to marry your third, fourth cousin. It's not really common to marry your first cousin, sometimes second cousins. And that is actually legal in the Bible. So when they marry, they want to keep the same type of traditions, upbringings. The culture is generally the same, but the way of doing things can be different. So they still do that now. You want to keep it in the family, in other words. I talked, months and months ago about the line of kings. To the extreme, that's why they had so many diseases and they had deformities, because they were doing half-brothers, half-sisters, first cousins, and the line and the DNA was becoming too corrupt. But she probably wanted to go there for those many reasons. And we're going into chapter 28, verse 1, but it seems more appropriate to go into chapter 27. So now we're beginning chapter 28 and starting at verse 1. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise and go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take for yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's son. So in this, Isaac perhaps was aware at this point, ultimately, that it was his decision that led to the family being in this broken state, because he was the head of the household. And if you notice what he says here, he says he charges him. I want you, in essence, to promise that to make sure you don't do what your brother did. And he looks at that. So it's interesting that Isaac at this time listened to his wife. Now somehow he did come to his senses. He may have seen something different and he doesn't want to make a mistake. But when you think about it, it was Isaac's fault because he didn't do what was right. And it's really hard to believe that his wife didn't tell him about what God told her. Why? Because she's bold enough to come to him right now and say he cannot marry one of these women. So that also almost confirms that he knew. But again, you have this dysfunctional family that continues to the blood of us, that we're all dysfunctional. But maybe, perhaps, he did realize he should have listened. And he wouldn't have had this broken family. It wouldn't have been this bad because he's going to lose a son as well. And those are the consequences that we can face. And maybe, again, depending on our ages, we did certain things like that. But we have to remember that God is still with us, even in our mistakes. Otherwise, we're without hope. But that's the beauty of being a Christian, because there is hope. You see Christ move, even when you make mistakes. And I've made my share along with everyone else's shares. I've taken people's shares and said, why don't you give it to me? I'll make the mistake for you. Not intentionally, but I've made enough to know that God was with me in my ups and downs. He never left me or forsook me. Even in my sins, he would talk to me, which is an amazing thing. How much more do we need to know that God is for us? That we shouldn't have the mind that says I'm no good or I'm rotten or I should not do this or that. How much more should we honor him in every aspect of our lives because he never leaves us? But you come to your senses, and it seems like Isaac came to his senses a little bit. And he listened to his wife. And he understood, this is going to be bad. I have to let my son go, because my older son is probably going to kill him. Now, she must have told him this. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe she thought, he's not going to listen to me, so I'm just going to probably do it on this side. And that's the breakdown of communication again. We shouldn't have to not be able to talk to our fathers, but we know that's not the way it is. And I'll use my daughter again as an example. I don't always, of course, listen. I don't always listen to my wife. It doesn't mean I should be that way, because I can close my mind just as Isaac did, and it causes problems. But he's learning, and that's the point. That's the point of reading God's word over and over again. I haven't said it for a while. God's word is the field that you go through, and if you remember, that you pick certain kernels or bits of fruit. It's ready for you to digest and understand. And there's a lot that are left behind. That's why you go back. And remember that just because we're going through the word right now doesn't mean that we left a lot of seeds around. And we know that we did. There's different angles from this. But we continue to go back to his word to grow. But what's the purpose of a Christian on earth? Anyone? What's that? Well, I mean, first off, is the purpose is that we honor and please God. We were made for his pleasure. How do we please God? Is it impossible to please him without what? Faith. So we have faith in his word and what he's going to do. Even in when we're down, we move forward, we press on, we believe him, even in our mistakes. And here, there's still a glimpse of hope in Isaac, because he will remember, and he does remember the promises of God. You're going to see this in verse 3 and 4. But that's what we need to remember, wherever aspect of wherever we are in life. Even as I talked about earlier, the world around us looks like it's crumbling. Praise the Lord, he's coming. Praise the Lord, there's revival. Praise the Lord, I get to suffer for his name. Oh, that don't sound too good. But hey, he gives us the strength. And it'll be okay. Whatever he has for us, we can endure, because he's the one who strengthens us. So, Isaac, to a certain degree, came to his senses because he listened to his wife this time. And I've said it before, we need to listen to our wives. We need to do everything according to the word of God. If we're sharpening each other, if we're listening to wise counsel, we come together and say, well, is that in the Bible as an example? And this is what we're reading right now. Their lives are an example to us, what to do and not to do. God's mercy, though, in all of it, because his mercies are new every day. So verse 3 of chapter 28. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. So Isaac now understanding or accepting God's choice. And it is powerful what he's saying right now. He knowingly passes the blessing and the promises of his father Abraham to Jacob. He's accepted it. He's thought about it and he realizes this is God's plan. This is what God wants. And he came to repentance. Even though when you think about the Bible, it's not saying it. Repentance also is coming to your senses and saying, man, this is the Lord's choice. It's not easy for us at times because our ways are not his ways. And we see as in through a glass dimly. We don't understand everything. We do have biases. But look at Isaac right now. God is still with him, and he gives the blessing that was given to Abraham. He passes it on to Jacob knowingly this time. No deceit. He knows who he's doing it to. And that's maturity even in Isaac. Coming to realize, okay, he is the chosen one. Now, how did he feel? We don't know. Did he have regret? He must have had regret. If he had any care for his family, he regretted his decision to try to make his firstborn leader and bless him. And he must have seen God's hand in this and his mercy and grace, because you know his father did, and he must have passed it on to his son. And as Jacob is going to go into his issues, he must and he will remember the teachings and mistakes of his father. He must think of these things when he's going through stuff. But it can either strengthen you or weaken you. That is why you remember Christ and his meeting us throughout our lives. So verse 5. So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram to Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. So he sent him away, and he's on his trip right now that takes days. I think it was, if I remember correctly, around 500 miles or so, was it? I'm not sure. I think it was 300 to 500 miles. So here he is saying goodbye to his son, not his favorite son, but perhaps now he loves him a little bit more than he did before, because he realized the damage that he could have stopped if he only did what was honoring to God and not his own culture, his own understanding. And of course, his mom will never see her favorite son again. So there is a curse, in essence, on all of them to a certain degree. Everyone is affected. And see, that's the thing when we're thinking about our nation, our country, and peoples. Think about, once again, what Samuel said when he went before God basically crying. And he said, man, they don't want to listen. God told them, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. There's that consequence. And because they reject me, let them have their king. I'm still going to accomplish my will, but this is going to happen to them. And that's what's happening again, of course, to our world. And we have to keep that in mind, because there's a lot of Christians out there, and we're affected by, I've said this before, by our society. We can become weak. We go to other countries and see what Christians go through, who seem to be living the book of Acts and the letters. And we're like, we don't know why. We're blessed. But we never know if we will be there. How will we stand? Will we fight? Will we say no when the time comes? And we have to understand that a lot of these people who, like Isaac, we can be like him. Walking with the Lord, but here comes in compromise. Here comes not doing what God tells us to. Not hearing what he tells us to. And there are consequences. And we don't want to look back on it and say, oh man, I should have, would have, could have, because it's too late at that point. God is with us, but there's the consequences. And you see that now. What's the amount of Christians that are divorced? What's the amount of Christians that are accepting LGBT and homosexual pastors? What's the amount of Christians who are saying it's okay to do or go or see? Because why? Are we quenching the Holy Spirit that is in us? Are we grieving the Holy Spirit, knowing or unknowingly? And it's really dangerous to get to the point where you don't know, because you are searing your conscience and you don't want to fall into the book of Romans. And there are many Christians who have fallen away from the faith. The Bible tells us that. We have to remember that we're no better. We don't want to be that person that Jesus said, thank you, Lord, that I tithe and I am beautiful. Let me kiss myself. I will let you kiss me too, Lord. And we know that guy was not justified, but he thought he was walking with the Lord. Which person knew Lord better? The sinner. He was aware and he put no confidence in the flesh. I'm going to remind you of my favorite scripture. Examine me, O Lord. See if there's any unpleasing way in me. Lead me into the right path, the right thinking, the right man. Restore the soul that may be dying in me, in your spirit that I may have neglected. And we can't deny that it's so easy to do in our society. If Isaac could do it, knowing the promises, seeing that, being on the altar about to get stabbed by his father and killed, and an angel or a voice speaking from heaven, but yet he still falters and falls away. Israel is a great example as they walk in the desert. How can you see a pillar of smoke and fire and all these plagues, and the next thing you know, they're saying, we want quail. Who is this God? Where is Moses? No, don't do this. Don't do that. Aaron, make us a calf. Well, no, I can't, but I saved my life. Here you go. They made me do it. You mean they put a gun to your head? You know? What is that? Compromise, flesh, emotion, not realizing how far a person can fall. And I see it in my life. I know it in me. And I have to ask the Lord to remind me. Remember I talked about how the choking on my neck, when he finally revealed it to me, it goes back to, are you resisting the devil? Are you? Are you putting God first so you have the power to resist the devil and he will flee from you? But it's a reminder to us to walk, this word that I can't say, upright. You know the way it says it in the Bible. Cautious, aware, circumspectly. Be aware at all times. Watch where you're going. Watch what you're doing. Watch what you're saying. Look out for your brothers and sisters. Make sure you're in accord with the Bible. Yes, we're weak, we fail, but the righteous continue to rise again, the Bible tells us, because you're still right before God, and he will correct you if you let him. But we can't make a mistake to think that our surroundings don't affect us, even to the point where we can give up. And remember that. How many Christians are just giving up and saying, oh, well, you can't beat them, join them. The testing of our faith is near. Will we pass the test, as I talked about earlier? And that's why we come together and listen to the word. So, Isaac sent his son away and he said goodbye. And of course, he will see him over 20 years and he's going to live to see it. But it doesn't seem like his wife did, because she's not mentioned again. And there is a possibility that she did see him, but you think, I don't know, they might record that, but maybe it didn't hold any bearing. But it's safer to say that she did die. And it seems to be that way with all the patriarchs. Their wives died before the patriarchs did. Now it's not that way anymore. We're going to die first. Statistically, the men die first. Why? I don't know why, but it happens. So he's gone. And obviously, we're going to pick it up later on in the scriptures, but we get into verse 6. So Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take himself a wife from there. And that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Paddan Aram. Also Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan did not please his father Isaac. So Esau went to Ishmael and took Mahalalat, which means stringed instrument, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nabajot, to be his wife in addition to the wives he had. And when you're looking at, he went to Ishmael. By this time, Ishmael died. So he went to the family of Ishmael, or Ishmael's line. Like when we talk about Israel, we're not actually going to see Jacob. We're going to visit Israel. And the Bible talks about the children of Israel, or the nation of Israel, or Israel in general. They're not talking about the specific man, Jacob. So he went to the family of Ishmael, his uncle, and married his cousin. But it's interesting when you see this. What is going on in Esau's mind right here? He's trying to do right and honor his parents. He goes to Ishmael. Even though Ishmael is not part of the blessing of the Abrahamic covenant fully, although Ishmael was circumcised. And God did say he will be blessed. Because remember, God blessed the seed of Abraham. And when God gives you a blessing, he won't take it back. It'll be there. We know that because we're still blessed, especially when it comes to procreation. But now everything is warped. The blessing has become a curse. And humanity looks at it like that. So he goes to, again, his own thinking and doing wrong. And by this time, he may have had some regret and not hate. He looked at what he did, and it seems like he's trying to make amends. He may say, perhaps my father may bless me again, because he says my father's not pleased, and he's asking himself questions probably. Maybe I did wrong. What did I do? He sent my brother away, and he may have calmed down after this. So he's thinking. Some remorse possibly came to him, but it was too late. And the Bible tells us that. He sought it with tears, but he could not regain it. Once again, he's not learning. He didn't really see the example of his father. They may have not talked because their family's still broken. And he's trying again to do it on his own power, going to his uncle's line. Again, he makes a mistake. Now, we know what happens to the daughters of Canaan, to Cain, and also to Ishmael's line. They war against Israel. But he does the same thing. He still doesn't understand, and he's still so full of himself, being a narcissist. Because again, if you ever know a narcissist, a clinical textbook narcissist, they form reality around their own understanding, opinions, and beliefs, and they can easily manipulate a situation when you think about it. And if you look at, what's that Roman emperor? Narcissus. I forgot his name, but his name was Narcissism. Narcissist. They do that. What was it? Narcissus, yeah. Narcissus. But that's a good example, because he's so full of himself, even when he tries to do right, it isn't right. And it's still going to cause damage. It's still not pleasing the parents, because he didn't go to the parents to ask, why, Dad? Why did you want me and him, and why did you give him the blessing now? What don't I understand? He was still trying to do it in his own power, looking at things and saying, well, let me do it and correct it in this way. Although he sought it with tears and tried. He may have knew God's will because he heard his father, but he still wanted to do it his way. And it messed him up. He tried, but he still brung issues in his life and his parents' lives. It was too late for him. And that's where it generally ends for Esau, although he is still blessed in the tangible. And we see that later on when they meet again. But we're going to end it right there, because I said I am going to do 30, and I did it. We look at what happens, his consequences. His mom says, you got to run, Jacob. Not knowing she's never going to see him again, but realizing in time that this was a mistake. Although God is still with them, he is still just. And he still punishes sin in different ways. And this is sin, because they didn't do it the way God wanted to. Isaac didn't do it right. Rebecca didn't do it right. Jacob didn't do it right. Esau didn't do it right. And in the end, it goes down the line, and it still goes back to weakness in the flesh. But in this, they're learning to understand who God is. And his mercies are still there with them. His mercies are with us. Even though we could make mistakes from the past that are starting to get to us now, he'll still be there with us. Just as he's going to be with Jacob, to change him day by day and to remind him of the covenant and his blessings. And he should, and he will do that to us even when we make mistakes. If you've ever had that experience, why is it sometimes when you're in sin and you're done with whatever that sin is and you feel bad and guilt, God is there and all of a sudden blesses you? You ever had that experience? And it makes you feel even worse. And it puts you to the point of Peter again, turn away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. But Jesus said, no, 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 no. You're not a sinful man. I'm going to wash and cleanse you, and I'm going to use you to catch men. Because he realized who this man was. And that's why God does that to us, because he knows our brokenness inside. Going back to family dynamics and communications and the issues we go through from childhood. He blesses us even in our bad wickedness because he is good. He'll always be good and he'll never change. He will never forsake himself. And even his whippings are good and done out of love. So he can do whatever he wants. But that blessing after we come out of our sin is to remind us that he loves us and he doesn't condemn us. And he is for us and not against us. So we got to remember that. There's a lot of mistakes in here from these people who are following the Lord and learning to understand who he is and grow just like we are. And the key is growing, learning, listening, and changing. And not making the same mistakes as Esau did. Taking daughters from the same sinful line and not going back and trying to even talk to the parents and saying, what should I do? Healing communication, not only with God, because that's what prayer is, but with our family. And we have to learn how to communicate. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit and to use the words that God wants us to. So let's pray. Father, we again thank you for your word. And day by day, we just want to honor you the more we understand. The more you just chip away on all of the stuff that's around us, Lord, that may be growing on us because we don't see. And that's what we ask even right now, that you would chip away any hardness that has come upon us from our lack of insight or vision as we go through this world, Lord, that's very dirty. We know your Spirit is here and you are here with us and that you do cleanse us and change us, and we thank you even in advance. But at times, you know, we just fall astray or forget, or we move in a different direction from you. We ask that you place us where we need to be. If we are moving, if we are conforming to this world little by little, Lord, and that's the most dangerous thing. Lord, you've shown us that we could know Satan's tactics, and we know that he's not going to come face on with his demons to us right away, because we would know. And he knows how to get to us little by little, but you've given us your Spirit. Help us to hear your Spirit more and to be led by your Spirit and to be what you want us to be, Father, day by day, as you pour out your grace, your mercy, and blessing on us, because you never leave us or forsake us, no matter where we are. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for salvation and blessing us and our families. And I ask that you pour out your blessings on everyone here and watching online, that you continue to let them know how much you love them, that you are for them and not against them, and that your mercies are new every day. I just pray your blessings from heaven above and even earth below upon them, Lord, according to your promises and your will in their lives. And we thank you even in advance for what you're doing. We praise you and love you and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.